is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to Making Headway on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, president of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have significant impact on their businesses. At the conclusion of the show, a blog will be posted, which contains a summary of the show as well as contact information for the host and subject matter experts in the event that there are follow-up questions from the listeners. Today's topic, we will explore the top 10 ways to beef up your website. Since a website is a key component to your marketing plan, it is vital that you keep it up with the latest changes in technology and trends to make it relevant and efficient for your customers. Our guests today are Mike Sperling, who's the founder and director of Sperling Interactive. Mike's keen eye for design, extensive technology skills, and innovative marketing ideas make him a leader in the website design and management field. He's a graduate of the Rochester Institute of Technology. Mike Calabro is director of business development for Sperling Interactive. Mike has extensive experience helping businesses market their product and services online. And welcome, Mike and Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Thanks so much, John. It's great to be here.
You're quite welcome. And our producer today is Lauren Culp, who keeps us on track and makes sure that we don't go over. Lauren, thank you. So before we begin, just to help the audience know what I'm going to try to do to differentiate the two of you, because you made it easy for me by going with the two first names the same, I'm going to go by Mike S. and Mike C., as we would go forward here. So why don't we begin our discussion, and thanks for coming in today, and I'd like to get a little background on the company and the types of services that you offer to your customers at Sperling Interactive. Mike C., I think you're going to lead off with that.
Sure, and thanks again, John, and thanks for your support, Lauren. Well, we're a little bit about Sperling Interactive. We are a digital marketing company. We've been in business for 7 years and have over 300 clients. Our family of 12 provides services ranging from custom web design, search engine optimization, social media, photography, branding, and print services.
How did you develop the top 10 lists that we're going to talk about today, and how did they come to pass?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we certainly attend seminars and we do our research to stay on top of developing trends. But I think more so, it's the experience that we have in working closely with our clients and having seen what has worked for them, and of course, what delivers the return on investment.
Okay. Are these tips you're going to talk about, are they broadly applicable across all platforms, with the Mac versus the PC world versus the mobile world or what have you?
Yes, absolutely. Mike will get into greater detail when he starts going through some of the 10 tips, but these do apply across all website platforms, which are of course increasing by the number every day as we move forward here. But whether you're in WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, Squarespace, Mac, mobile, these tips will apply across the board.
All right. Well, Mike S., I guess you're going to be talking about the 10 tips, which is what I've been waiting for to get a little bit more definition around. Could you give us your perspective on what a business owner or a business manager should look at in terms of the 10 tips to improve their website?
Sure, great. So we've developed this list of our 10 tips. The first one that we have is responsive design. So what responsive design means is it means your website's going to fit, you know, everything from a 55-inch screen TV all the way down to your mobile phone. The way to do this is, the website really, it reorganizes itself. So it's all the same content that's there, but, you know, for mobile, everything may stack on top of each other versus, on a 55-inch screen TV, you know, you may get it so, you can see all the content without ever having to scroll down. So it's really, it's all about, giving the user a better experience based on their screen size. And it's just become very important with kind of how prevalent mobile phones have become and tablets, you know, really just making your website work on all the devices.
Right. So that's the design criteria that you have to follow then, huh?
Yep. Yeah. It's really different way of designing. It's something we really started, you know, 2-3 years ago when smartphones really started being in the hands of the majority of people that are out there looking at websites. And we've seen a steady increase in the number of people that are viewing sites. You know, we used to see 2-3%. Now on some sites that we're representing, we're seeing 15, 20, 25% of views coming through mobile devices. So it's important to really make your website work for everybody that's going to be viewing it.
Now, how do you know it's coming through a mobile device versus a desktop type of environment?
So we have analytics or web statistics tracking on the site that can actually track, you know, exactly, you know, what device people are using, kind of down to that level, what browser people are using, so we can really get a good idea of how we need to develop our sites moving forward.
Okay, great. So you've talked a little bit about the mobile side of the house.
The second tip we have kind of relates to responsive design, but it's a little different in, you know, having a mobile version of your site. So the difference between having a responsive design that's mobile and a mobile version is a mobile version is a simplified version of the site. So we know, again, based on those analytics, that people are going to spend about a third of the time on a mobile site that they would on a desktop site. So what we can do is we can simplify the content on that site to you know, make sure people are finding what they want to find. So if, you know, people may be looking for directions, people may be looking for a phone number, but people may not be looking to view, you know, your staff and all of the specific things that they may find on a traditional desktop site. So the mobile site's all about paring down your content and delivering an experience for your mobile user for what they might be looking for when they're on their mobile device versus a desktop computer.
Okay.
The third kind of tip that we have to beef up your site is to be unique and personalized. So our philosophy as a company is you want to be different from everyone around you, from your competitors. So we always like to, you know, add some flavor, add, you know, something different to your site to see, you know, when they're viewing all your other competitors. You know, we want, you know, yours to be memorable. You're the one that they come back to when they are, you know, viewing the site.
So
the fourth tip that we have is tell your story with visuals. There's so many websites out there where the site is using stock photography or using a stock video. You know, we want you to have, you know, your kind of, again, going back to uniqueness, your unique photos, your unique video. I mean, I think it's important to, you know, personalize it, show who you are through your visuals, and also use visuals to simplify things. I mean, people aren't going to read a 2,000-word document necessarily on your site, but if you can somehow take that 2,000-word document and turn it into, you know, a diagram with icons that you can easily walk someone through a process or walk someone through your business, I think people are going to respond to that a lot more favorably.
Does that include things like videos?
Yeah, definitely things like video. I mean, I think it's great to, you know, have videos on your site. It's proven that people will spend more time on your site if you do have video content there. You know, it's a really good way to extend, not only, you know, get your message across clearer and personalized, but also keep people on your site longer.
So what's the optimal length of a video for a site? I mean, it certainly isn't Dr. Zhivago, but what would it be?
I think 60 seconds.
Okay.
No more than 60 seconds. You know, people still have limited attention span. I mean, we're seeing, you know, anywhere from 3 to about 7 minutes on a website, depending on kind of the type of site. But 60 seconds, and think about breaking things up a little bit. You know, if you have a lot to say, you know, maybe it's three 60-second videos that you kind of place in different points all over your site instead of hitting someone with a 3 to 5 minute video kind of right off the bat on the homepage.
Yeah, I can't do the 5 minute video, especially with the commercial interlude. But yes, I can see that. See, that makes some sense to kind of sprinkle that.
Yeah, think about breaking it up into chapters.
Yep.
Something that's easily kind of consumable, and you know, someone may come back and want to view chapter 3 or 4 or 5 at another time.
Okay.
Our fifth tip we have is dynamic content. What dynamic content is? It may be a blog or changing to products that you have up. Just something that you can have that people can come back and see something different. You really want people to return to your site. And if you can give them something they're really interested in seeing or interested in reading, they'll come back over and over, and then you're really getting them in your brand. The other thing with dynamic content, it's Google really likes dynamic content and the other search engines. So by changing your site on a regular basis, you're going to get Google to index you for all sorts of new keywords that you've written about. So if your site was, let's say, 10 pages to begin with, and you wrote one blog entry a week for 52 weeks, your site would be considered to Google have gone from 10 pages up to 62 pages, and all of those fresh keywords that Google is really going to love to move you up in the search engines for all the different search terms that you want.
So from a user perspective, if I have a developer, if like yourself, put the site together for me, then I need something that I can easily get at to do the blogging or add content like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you know, so there's simple platforms out there, the most popular really being WordPress, which originated as a blogging system and is now a very good content management system. But, you know, it's easy. You know, I like to say it's as easy as writing an email. If you can write an email, you can really use one of these platforms and put up your own blog entries. It's really very simple.
Okay. All right.
The
next thing
that we have is user-friendly navigation. So it is really important once you get someone to your website that they be able to just navigate easily between all the pages. What we like to do when we're designing a website, and it's, again, this is something you can do on your own even before you would even call someone like us, is really lay out a sitemap or a wireframe, they call it. It's really just like an outline of your site. You know, what pages do we need? Obviously there's a home page, there's an about page, there's a services page. But under services, you may have pages for each of your services. So you can have, you know, sites that go 2 levels, 3 levels, 4 levels. But I think it's really important to lay out, you know, what you want the experience to be, and then figure out how do we get people to the pages that are important. Even if you have a third or fourth level page in your navigation, you may choose to have a link to that somewhere on the home page or a link to that somewhere more prominent because that's an important page you want people to get to. So think about your user. Think about how you want to kind of bring them along through the site. The next tip that we have is an elaborate footer. So the footer is just the very, very bottom of your website. Traditionally, it's just been kind of a very thin piece where you have copyright information. But we've been advocating for almost more of like a sitemap style at the bottom. Again, it kind of relates back to navigation. If you list out a number of your pages at the bottom, you're giving people not only an opportunity at the top of the page, but the bottom of the page to navigate and find what they want to find. The other thing we're kind of advocating for at the bottom is contact information, is perhaps a way to sign up for a newsletter. So different ways to kind of engage your audience in addition to helping them get around the site easier, also, you know, help them make the next step and become a kind of a consumer of your newsletter or reach out and contact you. The next thing that we have on our list is a clear call to action and engagement. So, you know, you've spent all this time and effort and money getting people to this great new site you've developed or, you know, a revamp of your existing site. It's important to kind of hit people over the head with how they can get in touch with you, what you want people to get in touch with you for. You know, have a phone number or an email address in the upper right hand corner, and make it stand out. Don't let your call to action, your contact information blend in. It should really hit people over the head. We want you to take this next step. You know, some people go as far as a pop-up when you come to the homepage, you know, with sign up for our newsletter or, call us for, you know, this great deal. You know, you want a clear call to action to bring people, convince people to take that next step and get in touch with you.
Well, I think that's important because that just causes them to want to come back if you provide them with additional information that's of value to them, I would think.
Sure. Absolutely. Our next tip is search engine optimization. So we talked a little bit about search engine optimization when it comes to dynamic content. But on-site search engine optimization is very important, meaning you want to make sure that your content speaks well to the search engines. So you don't want to be too creative and kind of beat around the bush with your content. You want to kind of be very, very direct and make sure your content is keyword rich. So in our case, where we're selling, you know, web design, we wouldn't want to we wouldn't be really obscure. We would say, you know, websites designed by Sperling Interactive, you know, dot, dot, dot. You know, web design ends up right in the first words of the first paragraph. The other thing that's important are what's called your title tags and your meta information. So your title tags are at the very top of your browser window. They're not in the actual browser. They're kind of up at the tabs on your browser. And, you know, you want to keyword your site up there. So, you know, you wouldn't want your about page to say about up in your title and meta information. You would want it to say, your service. So again, in our case, you know, search engine optimization, we may put search engine optimization Massachusetts or search engine optimization Boston. That may end up in our title tag. So even if someone's on the about page, they're going to get a different kind of keyword experience up top where they're not really paying attention anyway. Other things to kind of look at with search engine optimization are there's ways to put keywords behind images on the site. So you want to make sure whoever you're working with as a web developer, or if you're working in a content management system, you're making sure that happens. And the last thing that we like to work with search engine optimization is many of the businesses that we're working with have a specific location that the area they work in. So you want to have location-based pages where you're pairing, you know, in our case, Danvers, Mass. Web design might be one page. Beverly, Mass. Web design might be another page. Boston, Mass. Web design would be another page. So we're really launching pages really for the specific purpose of the search engine finding location-based search.
Okay. So, right. I mean, that makes a lot of sense because now you're branding it to the areas where you want to do business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the real purpose of search is... Also, someone may not end up on your homepage. Remember, the way you're keywording things, someone could end up on a specific service page or end up on a specific town or city page. And you're really, you know, giving people an opportunity that are doing all these search terms that may not relate with kind of your, right. You know, business as a whole, but relate to one part of your business. You're bringing them right to those direct places, which is very, very powerful to give people exactly what they're looking for.
I've heard people doing that with the domain name as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, choosing a domain name is very, very important. And you can have multiple domain names as well,
right.
That may relate to one service. So you bring people directly in to that service.
Yeah, one of my friends came up with an approach where he wanted his name as his domain name, and he was able to do that by using a domain name from Libya. So he used the L-Y to add onto his name, so it came off pretty slick. I'm not quite sure people understood exactly where that came from, but
sure.
That was what he did. Well, this is great. We're running a little short here, but on time. Let's just go through a couple things. You talked about trial and error and tracking and analytics. I mean, that's got to be...
Yeah, that was our last point. Just very quickly, it's important to have analytics on your site. Just so you can track and see how long people are spending, what pages they came to, how they got there, what keywords they searched, what pages they landed on. That's all really important information that's going to help you kind of move in a certain direction kind of as your website builds and grows.
Yeah. So some other questions I've heard about, and I want to just kind of get a quick sense of what your thoughts are on them, is one of getting rid of clutter. I know they get on a lot of sites, and they try to tell me everything that ever happened since world came into being. And so getting rid of clutter, keeping paragraphs short, using color strategically, which I think is important, to me anyway, and then respecting the fold so that your call to action is visible in the upper portion of your website as opposed to being buried somewhere down, you know, a couple pages down. Those make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I think using all these things to kind of simplify your site and get people to where you want to get them to. You don't need to write a novel on the homepage.
Yep.
Break things up and make things logical for people to kind of get to different places. Your homepage is kind of a, it's a flavor of kind of what you do, and then you can bring people deeper on your interior pages.
Okay. Let's jump to Mike C. And how often do you think you should evaluate your website's performance? Is that something you do weekly, monthly?
Yeah, that is vital, John. And with the technologies and trends changing so frequently, you certainly do want to keep up on digital marketing trends within your specific industry. So on a quarterly basis, you should be, checking out some information online, subscribing to some newsletters or attending some free webinars. Also on a quarterly basis, you should be checking out what your competitors are doing to make sure that that you're staying in line with them, both in search and in design. And as Mike mentioned, it's also key to make sure that you're revisiting those analytics on your site on a monthly basis. I would just throw in that it is vital that you are comparing apples to apples. So when you are looking at your analytics, you just want to make sure that you're comparing August 2013 versus August 2014.
Okay. Well, that would make some sense. Certainly makes some sense there. These are great tips. And I guess the question then is, how much can you do yourself versus hiring a professional work with you?
Yeah, certainly there are some elements of our services and what Mike discussed that aren't rocket science. There's link building, for example, to improve SEO, search engine optimization, which basically consists of transferring your company information onto some online directories. It comes down to more being a time consuming task and also knowing what directories are out there. We've amassed a list of over 4,000 directories, so. I guess it's a question of how much internal resources can you point to these things and what the benefit is to your company.
Okay, I mean that makes sense. It's kind of diminishing returns if you get too involved in it, I would think.
Exactly.
Mike asks, what changes do you see for website development over the next 5 years?
So I think really what's going to dictate change is going to be how we're consuming web and kind of digital marketing. We've already, you've seen in the news, Google Glass has come out, so people are now wearing, these silly looking glasses on their face and perhaps getting content. Apple's coming out next week with, their new version of the iPhone. They have their traditional size that sounds like it's coming out, and they have their what they're calling a phablet now, which is in between a phone and a tablet. So there's this kind of middle size phone, and who knows kind of what other ways we're going to be able to kind of consume websites. But I think that's kind of the key to what's going to happen. What's going to happen is going to be dictated by the pieces of technology that are coming out, and everyone will just have to keep up with kind of the latest and greatest technology, make sure their web and digital marketing is keeping up with really what's happening in the marketplace.
So the design principles that you talked about are going to be, pretty much the same going forward based on some technology changes, but it's going to be how people are viewing the content that's going to dictate how this is used.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we'll more or less be responding to kind of as technology comes out, how do we kind of take advantage and leverage that technology for our purposes?
Okay, great. Well, we're at our 2-minute warning, so there's not a gun that goes off when we finish, but it's close to that. But any other thoughts you want to convey to our listening audience?
I'll just step in here real quick, just very quickly, and then let Mike finish up. For me, from my perspective, it's really just keeping up on those industry trends and really using that your analytics that are coming from your website. And hopefully the combination of both educating yourself on the trends, keeping up with your website data, you can now make future decisions based on data rather than just a guess. So for me, that's my point to leave with.
All right, and Mike S.?
Yeah, and I think my point to leave with is, you know, just I really think I want to get across, be unique and be different. Everyone's got a website out there now, practically. But make sure you're standing out in the crowd. You know, with any of the, I think any of the tips can help lead you there. But you really just want to look and feel and be different. You don't want to blend in. The goal with any kind of marketing, including web design and digital marketing, is just stand out. Do something different. Take risks to be different.
Very good. Well, I thank you both, Mike and Mike, for joining our show today to discuss the 10 tips to beef up your website. One other thing for our listeners, Mike and Mike will be taking a deeper dive in today's topic at the Salem Enterprise Center on September 24th. See the website, the Enterprise Center website, for more info. It's one of the free monthly seminars that that come up from Sperling Interactive, as well as things that are available for the Enterprise Center. If someone wants to talk to you about their website, my understanding is Mike Caballero. It's mikec@sperlinginteractive.com. And your phone number is 978-705-1358. And the company website is www.sperlinginteractive.com. And so that'll be posted in the blog for further follow-up. Lauren, thanks very much for keeping us on track. If you have questions for John King, you can reach him at jking@headway-strategy.com or have a Twitter account of jkinghsc. One thing I'd like to do is take a page out of Mike Rowe's book and say that if you have topics as a listener that you'd like to hear about on Making Headway, please let us know and we'll work to see if we can make that happen. And at that point, this is John King for the URB Business Network, reminding you to continue listening to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway.
The UR Business Network. We mean business.